Today's reading is from Psalm 71, verses 1 to 12, and it's found in page 584 in the Pew Bibles. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me.
Thanks, Ella. You read that beautifully. Let's again join to pray before we think about this. Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. And we pray, Lord, that as we just consider this psalm, that you'll illuminate everything about us and who we are and where we're going. Father, we come to you. Would you speak to us, we pray. Amen. So as I said, I had a birthday during this week. I didn't get too many cards from the congregation, but hey, that's just the way it goes. But don't forget, next year, 4th of August, it's the same time every year. And if you're going to forget about it, I'll remind you the week before. Don't you worry about that. Someone said to me, is it a big birthday? And I said, well, when you get to this time of life, they're all big birthdays. But I like to keep it a secret. 37 and a half. That's what I dream of, Jen. That's what I dream of. I'm not moving beyond 37. But yeah, as you get older, things change. There's things that you can't do that you used to do. Things begin to ache that didn't ache before. And just things change. And maybe as you grow older, you become more dependent on others. Maybe to do things for you. To cut your grass. To make your meals. To clean the house. Do all those things. But at any age, we can choose to depend on others. We can choose to depend on ourselves. No, I'll just depend on myself. I can't rely on anybody else. I've just got to do it. Or you can choose to depend on others. But who did the psalmist choose to depend on? So six words in verse 1. Have a look. If you haven't got Psalm 71 open, have a look at it. Who does the psalmist choose to depend on? Verse 1. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. In you, O Lord. In you, O Lord. He chooses to be dependent on Yahweh. It's a choice. Many people will say, I'm not interested in God. I don't want to know what he has to say. I don't even know if he exists. But I'm not interested. I'm just going to get on with my life. But the psalmist made a choice. He chose to depend on the Lord. Look what he says in verse 3. For the Lord Yahweh is his rock, his refuge, his fortress. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. If this psalm wasn't written by David, and maybe it wasn't, because it doesn't have his name on it, but David wrote many psalms, but if it wasn't written by David, it was written by someone very like him, because it just echoes how he would write, or his experience. From his very youth, verse 5 and 6, he trusted God, for you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. Verse 6 is true for all of us, whether we acknowledge it or not. From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. If it were not for the Lord, we would not even have a breath to take. That's whether we're a Christian or not, whether we believe or not. It is a fact. If it were not for him, we would have no life. We would not be brought forth from our mother's womb, because he created life. He gives us breath. He gives us food. He gives us shelter. Everything we have, everything we are, is his, given by him, by his grace. So we're totally dependent on him, whether we recognize it or not. But those could have been the words of David, my confidence since my youth. When you look right back to one of the most famous stories in the Bible of David and Goliath, it's a story we know really well, don't we? He was just young. He was a shepherd boy. Here was Goliath, huge, a warrior, killed many people. He was wearing state-of-the-art armor. He had the best equipment, experience, maturity, the physique to go with it. He had everything. And here was little David, a shepherd boy with a sling. And yet he had so much more, because from his youth, the Lord had been his confidence. He had depended on him. And that is who fought the battle for him. And with a stone, he brought down a giant, because God was on his side. He was a man, a boy after God's own heart. He relied on this who was his rock, his fortress, his refuge. But now for the psalmist, he is getting older. You could look at the psalm and get a bit depressed, because this is about either being in old age or approaching old age or looking forward to that old age. Look what he says in verse 9. Do not cast me off when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Verse 18. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God. Even when I'm old. So the psalmist from his youth had trusted God, but he sees old age, or he's in old age, and he's saying, Lord, don't forsake me now. I have trusted you all my life. You have been my fortress. Don't change. And yet getting old is not easy. As someone said, getting old is not for wimps. Your strength fails. Things change. That's just the way it goes. And for David in his life, it was the same kind of thing. All sorts of things changed. Although he had much success, the pressures were very great. See what it says in verse 4 for this psalmist. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. And in verse 10, for my enemies speak concerning me, and those who watch for my life consult together. It's like that for David. He had many enemies. He had many successes, and the nation grew, and it became one, and it was awesome. But the pressures were great. The enemies were from without and from within. Even his own son Absalom conspired against his own father so that he could be king. The pressures were very great. Enemies were everywhere. And as they watched him growing old and losing his strength, they conspired against him. And yet he's confident of God, because his whole life has been lived in the shelter of his wings. So we can be confident even as things change. But the enemies see their chance. Verse 11, they say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. But God does not discard us. There's a great story in Numbers chapter 14. Well, you know the story of the people who left Egypt. We were thinking about Egypt during the week. But the people left Egypt where they had become slaves. And they were brought into the wilderness, but they were being taken to the promised land, a land full of milk and honey. And they sent spies into the land, one of which was Caleb. They went into the land and they came back with reports about how beautiful it was. It was indeed a land full of milk and honey. But Caleb said, we can take this land. We can do it because God has given it to us. We just need to trust him. But the others said, oh, they're awfully big in that land, and we're awfully small. They've got all the best equipment. Their cities are fortified. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. There is no way we're going to go into that land and take it. Numbers describes Caleb as a man who was wholeheartedly for the Lord, but the others didn't agree with him. So they wandered in the desert for all those years. That generation died out. All those fighting men died. The next generation moved into the promised land, including Caleb and Joshua. And then there's an amazing story in Joshua chapter 14. The land has been taken. The land has been given to the different tribes. But there's one part of the land has yet to be taken. It's going to be the most difficult. It's the area of Hebron. And Caleb says these words in chapter 14 of Joshua. He said, I've trusted God all my life. Give me this land. Let me do it. He's 85 years old. And he's saying, I can do this. My strength is as great as it was 40 years ago. I can do this because the Lord is with me. Isn't that amazing? How many people do we know, or maybe you're one of them, who say, oh, I've done my bit, I've had my day, it's time to pass it on to the next generation. And there's a truth in that, of course. We've got to bring on the next generation. But the Bible doesn't say anything about giving up, or retiring, or putting your feet up, or heading off to Florida permanently, or moving to Greystones to a little house by the sea so you can relax. It doesn't say anything like that. No. These guys keep on going. Caleb says, do you see that city? The toughest place. I can do this because God is with me. He has given it to me. I am confident of this. And he did. Is that not a challenge to all of us? Is that not an encouragement to all of us? Old age isn't just going to seed. Old age is reaping the harvest of what you've sown when you're younger. And for all of us who are younger, no, Dale, to young people like you and others. And when you're very young, you don't think about getting old. You don't take out a pension because it seems like you never need a pension. It's just too far away. And yet the choices you make today determine the kind of old person you will become. Never say, one day I will have more time to go to the prayer times. One day when the children grow up, I'll have more time to give to the church or go on mission trips or whatever it might be. Never say, one day I will. It's today. The choices we make today determine the person we're going to be tomorrow. And old age is a harvest. As you have sown those seeds of faithfulness and trust and faith into a God who is trustworthy and faithful, and then you can see him as you get older, become stronger and stronger, and your faith, wow, blossoms. David was under attack. The psalmist was under attack. God's people are always under attack. The voice of the church has become sidelined. Church has become marginalized. Atheism, secularism is rampant. So what happens? Do we despair? Many Christians are being persecuted today, beheaded today, because they are Christians. But listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. There was a man called Polycarp who lived a long time ago, between the years 70 and 155 AD. He was a pupil of John, one of the disciples. He was a very important man, but at this time, in these years, the Roman Empire was strong. And the Roman Empire was clamping down on Christians and on the church, who was seen as a dangerous cult, and they needed to be destroyed. Polycarp was arrested. He was asked to reject his faith. And instead of saying Jesus is Lord, he was asked to say Caesar is Lord and to burn some incense to him. If you do that, Polycarp, we'll let you go. And his friends said to Polycarp, what harm is there in saying Caesar is Lord and burning incense and saving yourself? And Polycarp said, for 86 years I have been Christ's slave. He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme him who has saved me? Polycarp died for his faith. He wouldn't say Caesar is Lord, because Jesus had been Lord all his life. As he invested his life into the Lord, as he found him to be his rock, his refuge, his fortress, he never let him down, ever. So why would he deny him? All the things of life didn't really bother him. All the pain, all the worries, even his own life. What did it matter? He had so much more in having Jesus. And he had eternity to look forward to. Is this not an inspiration to us? It should be. Verse 20, you who have made me see many calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up. This is the reality for those who trust in the Lord. This life is not the only life. In Jesus we have eternity. David looked beyond his present circumstances. Polycarp looked beyond his present circumstances. And here again what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we do not look at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary. What cannot be seen is eternal. Verse 7 talks about that, become important to many. This just means his life had become a sign, a symbol. People watch, people of faith. How are you different from me? You say you're a Christian. We often hear, oh, they've done that and they're supposed to be a Christian. They've said that and they're supposed to be a Christian. And sometimes I look at my own life or look at our lives and think, what is different about our lives from the rest of the world? And yet it should be completely different. For our hope is in a different place. People watch the psalmist. He made the right choices. People watch us to see if we're going to be making the right choices. If indeed we're going to be, as Jesus said, we should be in our light to the world. So that people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Almost finished. Verse 8. When I am old and gray, do not forsake me, but listen to this. Till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. We all have a responsibility to do something. We've got this amazing message. We have a responsibility to spread it, pass it on to the next generation and the next generation. That's what this past week has been about. That's what Sunday Club is about. And all of us have a role in that. Every one of us. It is our responsibility to do something. That is what the psalmist wanted to do. Do not forsake me, Lord, when I'm old, so that I can do this and spread your good news. But very finally, this whole psalm is steeped in praise. Look at these verses of praise. Verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor. Verse 14, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Verse 15, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts. 22. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness. I will sing praise to you with the lyre. My lips will shout for joy, and I will sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. All the way through the psalm, there is praise, praise, praise. Despite the pressure, praise. Despite growing old, praise. Because this is our God who loves us and who has given us this promised land, this eternity. This is amazing grace. But the most amazing act of all was when Jesus came and walked in this earth and hung on a cross because he loved us, so that he might open up a doorway into his presence, where we might find forgiveness, we might become children of God.